The Dentalpreneur Podcast. Okay, doctor, it's time to put down that handpiece. You're listening to the show dedicated to helping dentists get their lives back. It's time to decrease your stress, increase your profitability, and regain your passion. Now introducing your host, Dr. Mark Costas.
This episode is being sponsored in part by the Voices of Dentistry Summit, scheduled for January 26th and 27th, 2018 in beautiful Scottsdale, Arizona. Come out and visit your favorite dental podcasters, including your hosts, Dr. Justin Moody from the Dentists, Implants, and Worms podcast, Dr. Jason Lipscomb, and Dr. Alan Mead from the Dental Hacks podcast, and me, Dr. Mark Costas from the Dentalpreneur podcast. If you missed it last year, you missed an incredible time mixing and networking with some of our profession's hottest speakers and thought leaders. This year's lineup is even more impressive, and the venue, the DoubleTree Resort in the heart of Scottsdale, is an incredible venue, not to mention the average temperature in Scottsdale is 70 degrees that time of year. So if you want to hang out with a crew of people that actually believe that CE events can actually be fun and informative at the same time, go to thevoicesofdentistry.com. That's voicesofdentistry.com today and register for you and your whole team. And here's an insider discount for the listeners of this podcast. Register before September 18th and receive $300 off the normal tuition. 14 CE units, some of the profession's brightest stars, and your favorite podcasters in a swanky resort in Scottsdale? What more can you ask for? Voicesofdentistry.com. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Dentalpreneur Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Mark Costas, and today we have a very important person. Her name is Julie Charlstein, and she is the CEO of Premier Dental Products. Just a little bit about Premier, first of all. Premier Dental Products was founded in 1913. Check that out, guys, 104 years old, by instrument maker Julius Charlstein, and is now celebrating their 100th anniversary. Today, this family-operated business is the fourth generation and has product sales in over 75 countries, making Premier a leading brand in the worldwide dental market. Julie herself is the CEO president, and her father, Gary Charlstein, is the chairman. And they have one simple core value, and that is trust. Dentists trust that Premier products will perform as promised. This has been built up over decades of proven performance and has enabled leading brands such as RC Prep, Hemodent, Triple Tray, and Two Striper to be preferred by many dentists all over the world. So I'm going to cut the intro there because I just want to have a chat with Julie. We could read on and on about how awesome their company is, but just reading about those few products, those are all products that I use in my practices every single day. So how are you doing today, Julie?
Hi, excellent, Dr. Costas. Thank you so much for having me. I'm very, very excited. And you've been doing this you really are kind of a pioneer in this area. So I'm really excited to be partnering with you here.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So Premier, what a cool history. I had no idea. I had no idea that this started four generations ago and over 100 years ago. So can you tell us about the history of your company? And has this been something that, you know, you've known about since you were born, basically?
Right. yes, of course. And we can go into that in a second. But Premier, and we were chatting about this a bit before, Premier is Inspired Solutions for Daily Dentistry. And what that is, it means that we create the innovative consumables that the clinician is using day in and day out in their practice that they've come to expect the highest quality, the highest of levels of innovation from us. Mm-hmm. And that has really been built upon our four pillars, not coincidentally being in four generations, but it's really built upon four pillars of success, which starts with deeply connected. And that deep connection, as you said, comes from four generations in this business, 104 years, one family. And with that, you know, you get to know a lot. You have amazing experiences and you build wonderful depths of knowledge. And because of those connections with the industry, with universities, with dentists, we are able to develop meaningful innovations, the second pillar, meaningful innovations like Traxident that you may be using, like Enamel Pro. Mm-hmm. And once those products are delivered to the marketplace, they then become our third pillar, standard-setting solutions. So you'll see in your office, again, Traxident, a number one product, Enamel Pro, number two, Solo Disposable Diamonds, also market-leading.
Yep.
And through these four generations, 104 years, they then become our fourth pillar, undeniably proven. Those products, the legacy brands that you mentioned, along with the new ones that, again, you have come to expect from Premier. And, yes, I've been born into it. There was nepotism, and it was something that I had always known about, obviously, just kind of being in the family. This was talked about at dinner, on vacation, at every possible moment. Mm-hmm. But it was never something that I was pressured into in terms of a career. It was never something that was expected. And I have a deep appreciation and love for my family for that.
Yeah. Awesome. So tell us about your background. How did you get the tap on the shoulder? I'm sure there's other family members that could have taken over the helm.
Yes. Well, I am the oldest of this generation.
Okay.
G4, I guess you would call it in, mm-hmm. Family business terms. Mm-hmm. My background, because of what I just said in terms of kind of not being pushed into the business, my background is in political science. I went to undergraduate at Emory University. I was a political science and Judaic language and literature major, double major, neither of which very useful for the dental business or business overall. And I worked in those fields for a while. And then I kind of wasn't sure what I wanted to do. So I went to business school, actually, to see if I should be working in the business. And I enjoyed business school. And I said, okay, well, let me see if anyone other than my father wants to hire me. So I worked outside of the company for a few years. And that's when I got the call from my father saying, what do you want to do? Would you be interested in coming back? And so I did some research. I spoke to people in the industry. I spoke to family business consultants because, as you can imagine, family businesses are very unique.
Yeah.
And then I did make the decision to come in, and I started as a product manager. And that was about 15 years ago. And then from product management, I kind of worked my way up through different areas of the organization, and last year became CEO.
That is awesome. That's awesome. So this is very cool because last weekend I was in, ADEC was very generous, and they kind of hosted this event for some multiple practice owners. I myself and my partner, Dr. Mark Davis, being multiple practice owner, we own 10 practices, and we were about the average size of DSO owners that was invited to tour the grounds at ADEC and meet their founder, Ken Austin. And, mm-hmm. Very, very similar in that they are a family company, a multi-generation family company. And the culture there was just so strong, and the way that they treat all of their employees was so unique. And I was very impressed with the whole experience. Sounds to me like you guys have a similar kind of background and culture within your company. So can you tell us about what your footprint looks like? Do you have a manufacturing facility? How many employees do you have? What does it all look like behind the scenes?
Sure, sure. ADEC is, as you said, really a wonderful company, and I have tremendous respect for the Austins and Scott Parrish as well.
Yep.
And interestingly enough, you were talking about their kind of culture, and I have two things in terms of culture on my desk. One is ours and our pillar and our tagline, Inspire Solutions for Daily Dentistry. And the other is theirs. They have a pamphlet that lists their mission and their values.
Oh,
so we
yes.
are very, we're very similar in that way. Obviously our employees are of paramount importance. At Premier, our mission is to drive relevance through targeted innovation, select partnerships, brand strength, and human capital. And that human capital is absolutely essential. These are people that are giving their lives, their time, their passions to you as a business, to us as a family. And that is really, really you know, again, of paramount importance to us, and we so value that. Mm-hmm. So we do have a manufacturing facility. We manufacture in the U.S. of A, which is something we are very, very proud of.
Very cool.
So we have two locations. We have corporate offices outside of Philadelphia, and then manufacturing facilities in Philadelphia, and then we have people really all over the world. We have sales reps in this country that work in their own kind of home offices. Mm-hmm. And then we have others around the world as well.
So, how many traditional offices do you guys have sprinkled throughout the world?
We have two facilities, mm-hmm. And then we have partners that are all over the world in terms of development partners, manufacturing partners that we work with in those specific areas, development and manufacturing. So while we may not own the facilities, we work in conjunction with the businesses that have the manufacturing facilities to do that with us.
Sure. Do you guys work with distributors, or do you go direct to consumer with your goods?
Yes, we sell through distribution. Okay. That goes to the partnership. Yes, so through all major distributors.
Gotcha. So, just out of curiosity, and I know that a lot of my listeners think the same way, because we are kind of entrepreneurial minded, hence the name of this podcast, the Dentalpreneur Podcast.
Right?
So, tell us about what a day in Julie's life looks like. Julie, the CEO, what do your days look like when you're running a company the size of Premier?
Well, there are never two days that are the same. I'm sure it's very similar to what your experiences are. Mm-hmm. It varies all of the time. So on days when I'm in the office, there are a lot of face-to-face meetings, really working on both day-to-day and strategic, depending on kind of what's going on. Of course, if there's a fire that needs to be dealt with, that gets prioritized. But usually when I'm in the office, it's meetings with my various team members, both on kind of what they're working on and then on the strategic level as well. When I'm not in the office, I'm spending time with developers, with partners. I was just actually at Creighton University, because we've just developed a really, really amazing smart cap technology with them in a product that we just released called BioCoat Sealant. So that's an example. I'll be on the road meeting with developers, meeting with other entrepreneurs in terms of, you know, businesses that want to do business with us. I'm doing that all over the world, you know, conference calls, great opportunities like this. It's, you know, it's never the same thing twice.
That's awesome. So you talk about, you know, doing some really hands-on stuff at universities and such with new products. Who's driving innovation in your company? Do you have a developmental arm that is constantly looking for new innovative products or potential products?
Yes, we do. We have a very, very robust development process and development team, and you totally nailed it. We really scour the globe for lots of different technologies, early stage, late stage, things that can really just need the Premier brand and regulatory approval on them. But mm-hmm. we have a very specific process in terms of how we find that, what we believe fits with us, and then going through all the way from ideation to commercialization. Oh, cool. I was, in fact, reading, you know, you're asking what's a typical day. Before this call, I was reading an LOI, a letter of intent with such a developer. So it's always very, very exciting.
That's very cool. That's cool. So, all right, tell me more about your history. I'm sure you know it all, but tell me about Julius. Tell me about Julius Charlestein, and was he a dentist? How did he get involved 100 years ago in dental products?
Right. Well, he was not a dentist, but clearly he was a visionary. He was a visionary and an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. Something that really, you know, I don't even know if that word existed in the typical vernacular 104 years ago.
Sure.
But Julius was a dental instrument sharpener. Mm. So he used to, at the time, he would walk to and from work, and he would pass dental offices, and he asked his employer, hey, could I sell these instruments when I go to and from work? Mm-hmm. And that's really how the company started. And from there, we became an agency. So if there were other companies that were looking for someone essentially to rep their products, Premier would do that. So we would sell other companies' branded products. Then, and also very interesting in terms of, you know, his capacity and legacy and my grandfather as well, they started doing business globally many, 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 many years ago before most companies were. You know, we have agreements dating back to the 40s through 60s with Japan, for example.
Interesting.
So after we became an agency, then we started selling Premier branded products. We were not the developers of these products, but if someone brought products to us that were clinically sound, we would brand them Premier and sell them. And then we started developing our own products. And that's where we are today.
I see.
In our evolutionary cycle.
Yeah. How many products do you guys represent or have in your company now?
Well, we no longer represent any other companies.
Okay.
All of our products are solely Premier, and we have thousands of SKUs.
Oh, that's cool. That is cool. So, okay. So since you've been kind of born and raised in the dental industry, you've in your career with Premier, I'm sure you've seen a ton of change in the landscape of dentistry. My partner and I were just talking about just since we've been in dentistry, so much has changed. I mean, the mom and pop shop is still alive and well, but boy, the DSOs and small group practices really have, you know, experienced a lot of leverage and growth just over the last 5-6 years, probably. In fact, that's why I was invited to go to ADEC, because they're really trying to work with this new emerging market, which is these small groups and medium to large size DSOs. So what do you see as opportunity in the changing landscape, and how do you feel about the changes that are happening in our industry right now?
Well, you certainly touched on one of the key ones in terms of the growth of DSOs and the emerging group practices. And that has been kind of a very short trajectory on growth, which is really, really invigorating and exciting to watch.
Sure.
There have been so many changes, and I'm kind of the mindset that change is good. Change is our friend. You know, and we wouldn't have been able to be in business for 104 years if we didn't look at it as an evolutionary process and, you know, embracing and accepting and often driving change. So the DSO, obviously all of the technological innovations that are coming on board, big and small, whether they be kind of incremental or something completely disruptive. Obviously, consolidation, not just of the dental practice, but consolidation in terms of manufacturers and distributions has certainly been huge from where I sit. Mm-hmm. And then also the growth of women in dentistry, women in practice, you know, that the majority of women in dental students are now women. So lots of amazing changes that can be capitalized on and embraced.
Yeah, for sure. Why do you think, Julie, why do you think that your company, your family has been successful when so few family companies last multi-generations? Why do you think that you guys have been able to not only survive, but really become one of the leaders in your area in our profession?
I would say that the primary word is respect. That is something that my grandmother always said, although she wasn't in the business. She was absolutely the force behind my grandfather. Mm-hmm. Respect for the members of the family, respect primarily for the institution, that this is a business that we're running. It is not a pet project. Mm-hmm. Respect for the employees. And then also, of course, love amongst the family, and, you know, not to be diminished, our appropriate legal agreements.
Yeah.
and also fiscal conservatism. You know, we have been always very, very conservative in terms of financials. Another one of the sayings that my grandfather always had was the dollar is round. And what that means is you can have it one day and the next it can roll away from you. Mm-hmm. So you need to make sure that you are managing it and utilizing it very wisely for your business, for your family, for philanthropy. And that's how we've run our business and our lives.
Do you feel a degree of pressure beyond what you think you would feel if you were CEO of another company that wasn't generational and there wasn't so much history behind it as far as you personally?
I would say I feel multiple degrees of pressure. Yeah. not just one degree.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a tremendous, it's a gift, but it's also a huge responsibility. You know, it's 104 years of history here. I'm not going to be the one to screw it up.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, that's funny that you say that, because I'm sure over the years, over the generations, you've had, your family has had the opportunity to sell or maybe to go public. Why do you think that they've resisted that? Clearly, this is what I love about family-based businesses. And I learned so much about this sort of thing when I was at ADEC. You know, Ken himself said, yeah, I've been approached numerous times. They're, you know, a multi-hundred-million-dollar probably valuation company, maybe even into the billions. But he said that it's never even occurred to him to sell or to even go public, because it wasn't ever about the money for him. It was more about building something that would transcend, you know, time, and he'd be able to pass on to his heirs, and he wanted to create something that was special and would last. So why do you think your family has resisted maybe selling when they could have, or going public?
We love what we do, and we're really good at what we do, and we're able to deliver a much needed products to the oral health professional and delivering better health around the world, better oral health around the world. And that is so, it's so rewarding and so amazing. And similar to, you know, to the Austin family, this is something that we have built and are able to sustain and want to keep doing it again for our family. And then for, you know, for the world overall.
This episode is being brought to you by BoomCloudApps.com. One of the most effective strategies that I've personally implemented to grow my multiple dental practices is the integration of an in-house membership plan. In-house plans help to attract fee-for-service cash-paying patients, decrease patient attrition rate, lessen your dependence on traditional dental insurance, and also deliver a significant passive income to the practice owner. For a lot of busy practices, though, the management and administration of the plan itself can be a big challenge and extremely time-consuming. Well, that's where BoomCloudApps.com comes in. They take all the administrative hassle off of your team's shoulders and handle it all for you. They systemize the creation, organization, tracking, and automation of your in-house membership plan. So whether you want to integrate an in-house membership plan into your practice or already have a plan and would like help with the administration and management of it, visit boomcloudapps.com/mark. That's boom, B-O-O-M, cloud, C-L-O-U-D, apps, apps.com/mark. And make sure you use the promo code Mark Costas to receive 20% off their standard fee. Yeah. And do you think that will continue? And I'm sure I know the answer to this, but do you think that this will continue to be a family only or a primarily family run business, and you're going to resist selling or taking on partners or going public?
That is my goal.
Okay. Yeah. So do you see a promise in the next generations coming up? Have you spotted anybody that could take over when you're gray and ready to pass this on to the next generation?
Well, of course, my children are fantastic and exceedingly capable in every single dimension.
How old are they?
I have a 15-year-old daughter and a 12-year-old son.
Okay.
So they're a little young yet, but they certainly, they understand the dynamics of the business to the degree that I share with them, which I do. Mm-hmm. And there is absolutely a sense of pride in them in the business, in the family, and in what I do. So ideally, could this be for them? Absolutely. And I have, you know, a niece and a nephew as well, but they're babies. But, you know, the goal is to do as those who have done before us, to really establish a viable and successful business that can then be carried through.
Did you take over for your dad, Gary? Was your dad the CEO before you were?
Yes, he was.
And now he's the chairman of the board?
He is the chairman, correct.
And is he more in an advisory role now, or is he still actively working in the company?
He does both. He is absolutely an advisor in the company and in my life, thankfully. Mm-hmm. And then in terms of the company and the organization, he gets involved in the areas in which he wants to. That is certainly a right that he has earned.
Cool. So when you guys, with your developmental arm, and then obviously you're a corporation, I'm sure that you have, you know, sales benchmarks that you want to hit and growth benchmarks that you want to hit. How often do you review those with your executive team and your board, and who sets those goals as far as innovation and, you know, financial growth and benchmarking?
Those are integral discussions and formats to the organization, as I'm sure are for most. Some are set on a strategic path. Some are very much day to day, and they're looked at both by the executive team and the strategy team, and are filtered down really all the way through sales and through each of our team members through their individual KPIs, key performance indicators. So those numbers are looked at very, very regularly. In all areas.
Yeah, cool. That's awesome. So, you know, when you get to a point in business when you're kind of one of the leaders in a field, I always wonder, this is just out of curiosity's sake for myself. You know, I'm sure that the generations of CEOs before you have been really big on creating new relationships and really kind of getting your name out there. Once you're established to the point that you guys are now, how much of that is still important to create new relationships and for you to go out and say, you know, create relationships with different schools and maybe other corporations or some of the thought leaders in dentistry? I'm very, very impressed that you would be on a podcast like mine, because it's not like I am the dean of Harvard, you know, dental school. I'm just a little podcaster that's podcasting out of a small studio in Prescott, Arizona. So how big is that as far as your culture to go out and continue the relationship building?
Well, I do know the dean of the Harvard Dental School, as I sat on that board, and I can say that every person in this industry and obviously in life has value to create and has value that they can bring to Premier. Mm-hmm. And I welcome that learning. And it's truly invaluable to constantly be seeking out new partnerships. Like you said, I didn't know you before today. Mm-hmm. And now I'm totally psyched that we know each other.
Yeah, me too.
And I'm sure that I can learn from you. I mean, you own 10 dental practices. You're a total entrepreneur. There's stuff that you can teach me. There's direction that you can be helping to give Premier in terms of products or messaging or what have you. Mm-hmm. In terms of, you know, new relationships with universities or other companies, that's how we get, again, that deep connection is how we get those meaningful innovations. So for me, it's not even, it can't not be a consideration. You know, I don't sit around and say, oh, well, you know, we kind of know everybody, so, you know, I'm going to stop looking.
Yeah.
That's not how we operate. And it's also especially represented, you know, just two prime examples that I, you know, alluded to earlier, SmartCap BioCode technology that we just released came from a new relationship with Creighton University. Mm-hmm. A potential business that I'm a product that I'm entering into that I was reading an LOI for today. And really our new branding that inspired solutions for daily dentistry. Yes, Premier is definitely known in the marketplace, but to be known as Inspired Solutions for Daily Dentistry is new for us, and really encapsulates who we are. So we're always very, very excited and energized to be sharing who we are and to be learning from others. It's how you grow.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So if you close your eyes, you know, I'm sure you've done this, this exercise in every company that you've been associated with, including your own. So if you close your eyes And I like to call them an avatar for our company or for our practices, you know, our ideal patient. I close my eyes and I know exactly what she looks like, her age, you know, what she's wearing on any given day, you know, how many kids she has, what she likes to do in her time off. If you close your eyes, who's your avatar? Who are you trying to craft your marketing message to? And who is your ideal customer?
So the ideal customer is the practicing dentist, whether they be in solo practice, in a DSO, in public health. We are looking to talk to and deliver the most valuable products to the practicing dentist and hygienist. And that is what we've done successfully and continue to do. So there is no ideal dentist. You know, yes, a DSO might be doing more business than a single operator, but all of that business is important to us because you're all delivering oral health, and we believe you can deliver the best oral health with Premier's innovations.
Cool. So you guys, you talked about that you have a sales force. So you have a sales force in place. Does the sales force work hand in hand with the distributors, or are the distributors your primary sales force?
They do both. So we have a sales force that both works with the dealer sales force, the field sales reps, and they also work with doctors and universities directly. So we're able to capitalize on both.
Okay. So it's a multi-pronged approach, I guess, getting it to the end user.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm going to switch gears here a little bit, and I'm going to ask you if there's anything. I am your avatar then. I am probably your ideal customer or somebody that you would target, not because I have multiple practices, but because I'm a practicing dentist as well. And I've been doing this about 15 years. I mean, I haven't been doing this for, three decades, but I have my preferences. So I'm going to turn the tables on you. Is there any questions, that you would like, or that you wonder about as far as getting in the minds of somebody like me?
Well, you're particularly interesting in terms of your entrepreneurialism, in terms of, you know, going outside of clinical practice and doing things like this podcast, establishing the Horizon Schools of Dental Assisting. So to me, that is really an ultimately holistic approach to your profession. So I'm really interested to know, in terms of kind of the where each of those pockets fit within kind of your clinical life, and really how you functionalize all of those areas.
Yeah, great question. Thank you for asking that. So, you know, I'm an entrepreneur at heart. I'm an entrepreneurial dentist, probably an entrepreneur first and a clinician second. I work no more than maybe 15 hours a week working with patients in the dental chair. And then I've been able to, luckily, been able to flex my entrepreneurial muscle in other avenues, such as the Horizon Schools of Dental Assisting and Dental Success Institute, where I consult with dentists on improving the bottom line and the profitability of their practices, and then my multiple practices as well. So right now, the balance is being the hardest thing for me is, and I'm sure this is the same as it is for you, the balance for me is being able to find good people for my executive team and that I can delegate to, because, you know, when you're running an organization any larger than what you can do with your own two hands and with the 40 hours or 50 hours or 10 or 12 or 15 hours in the day, once you get beyond that, it's very, very difficult to get anything done unless you have a great team underneath you. So it does seem to me that is one of the pillars of, you know, your culture, is having great people that work for the organization. And I think that's very, very similar to me. Luckily, I've been able to find, I'm blessed with a great executive team as well.
Mm-hmm. And how do you, in terms of, I was really, you know, pleased that you kind of wanted to have someone like me on your podcast. So I'm curious to see how that translates into the rest of your businesses. How do you generally work with companies like mine, with people like me? Do you integrate them into kind of the education that you're doing or the clinical practice? How do you seek to leverage the relationships that you have on the manufacturing and business side into what you're doing?
Oh gosh, what a great question. Yes, that is an awesome question. And, you know, now, you could consider us a small group because I represent maybe 85 practices with all of my clients and and then you can add 10 practices to that, maybe just under 100 practices between my clients that I represent and their multiple practices and my own practices. So because of that, I've had distributors and suppliers and manufacturers as well that have now started to approach me because we have this group that we are affiliated with. So now, for instance, a supplier would come to me and say, you represent 95 practices. What can we do to get you to spread the word about our company? How can we be more competitive as far as the quality of service that we provide, pricing that we provide? How can we get in front of your 95 practices? So yes, it's working directly with suppliers and manufacturers is a big part of what we do now, because what we're looking to do is justify our existence, right? So Dental mm-hmm. Success Institute, not only, we don't only want to train people how to understand their businesses at a higher level, but we also want to be able to negotiate on their behalf. We want to be able to, attract the best, the very best suppliers and manufacturers. You know, ADEC, we all know, they're not the cheapest, dental chair in the world. In fact, they might be one of the pricier dental chairs in the world, but there's a reason why they own the market share as far as, you know, dental equipment, because they provide the best service and they have the best product. So we're not just looking for the cheapest, we're looking for the highest quality and being part of an organization like ours, even if you're just a client and not necessarily a partner, has its benefits. And that's why I'm interested in speaking to people like you.
Well, I definitely can help you in that arena. So after the podcast, we'll make sure that we remain connected.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. That's such an insightful question. That's why you're the CEO, I guess.
Well, that and I was born into it, I suppose.
Yeah. Great stuff. So, any other questions that you can think of off the top of your head?
Well, non-dentally related, I'm always interested when families name their children with the same letter for the first name.
Yeah.
And even their dog. I mean, you took it a step further with, Bear. Which was very, very impressive. I mean, you really stuck to it. So maybe you can kind of shed a little light on that.
Yeah, thank you. You've done your research. I appreciate that. So, I have a 13-year-old named Bryce, an 11-year-old named Brendan, and our 8-year-old is named Brady, and my little 2-year-old Yorkie is named Bear. My poor wife, there's a lot of testosterone in our house, and she is such a girly girl, and she does such a good job of keeping us all in line. Her name's Leslie. But Bryce, we found, I like to, one of the things that I like to do, I'm not great at it, but one of the things I like to do is I like to surf. And I was reading a surf magazine, and my wife was pregnant. We hadn't picked a name out yet. We saw this professional surfer named Bryce, and we picked the name. And frankly, the second name came from the surf magazine as well. And the guy's name was Brendan. So we got Bryce and Brendan, and we had several girl names picked out because we were hoping that the second would be a girl. And then we had a third, hoping that the third would be a girl and it was another boy. So we just stuck with the B names. And, that's just the way that it turned out. Bryce, Brendan, Brady. And, the middle names are typically named after people in our family, either that have passed or are important in our lives. So their middle names, usually we name after other people, and their first names we selected ourselves. And Bear, if you ever met Bear, he's about a 9-pound Yorkie, full of fire. And he's an equal member of our family. And it was just such an ironic name. His name was Elliot when we brought him home, and he was 2 weeks old, and I was like, he is not an Elliot. So I changed his name to Bear, and that's how we ended up with that.
That's very funny.
So, tell me more about your kids. As long as we're on this topic, tell me more about your kids. So you have a 15-year-old and a 12-year-old. Have they selected colleges that they want to go to? What do they have any extracurricular stuff that you do together as a family?
Yeah, well, my daughter is the older, and we in our family have the same tradition that you do for the middle names. We named after someone that's passed away for their first names. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. She is very interested. She's going into 10th grade. She wants to be a doctor, a physician.
Ooh,
so
okay.
She's all really wanted to do that her whole life. It was either that or being a vet, interestingly enough.
Interesting.
But this past summer, she spent a week at Georgetown University. They do kind of like a taste of medical school, and that just solidified it for her between medicine or veterinary medicine. So she's very much sold on being a doctor. And she's also a stereotypical firstborn girl. She's been deciding which college she wanted to go to since she was five.
Yeah.
So it's
really?
Is it
Georgetown? Is that where she wants to go?
Well, now after going to Georgetown, it's Georgetown.
Oh boy, yeah, that's a great school, awesome school.
But she's looking at lots of schools that have kind of the combination undergrad medical program. That's what she's focusing on now. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And my son is entering the 7th grade, and he's much more business and entrepreneurial minded. She's much more the academic science, and he's much more business and entrepreneurial, and he's into CrossFit right now.
Oh, my wife is a CrossFit
oh,
fanatic.
Really?
Yeah. We try to do that at least a couple times a month together, but I have my own gym down in my basement, and I'm such a creature of habit. I like to work out by myself, but she's a CrossFit fanatic. That's cool that your son at that age is already interested in that.
Yeah. Yeah. He is. He's very strong.
So let me ask you this, because, and I'm not trying to be chauvinist here in any way. I'm so impressed by what you've been able to do, and you're a leader at the helm of a large organization. You're a CEO. How do you find it juggling being a mom with younger kids and being, I guess, the leader of this large organization? How do you find that as far as balance?
Well, it's virtually impossible.
Yeah, there's no such thing as balance, right? Yeah.
And it's similar to in business. You know, you have to surround yourself with good people. You know, what they say is true. It definitely takes a village. So, you know, I don't do it by myself. Thankfully, I have an amazing husband. I also have a nanny. And, you know, you got to make it work. And there are some days where the family is neglected a little bit more, and maybe some days, you know, a meeting is neglected.
Yeah.
But in totality, everything balances out. And, you know, I always say, look, the kids are going to end up at therapy at some point, so I'll just do the best I can.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Well, we all should end up in therapy. I mean, we're all messed up,
right?
For one reason or another.
True.
So, what do you do from somebody that's, in your position, what do you do if you have an underperforming, say, department, or one of your leaders, direct or indirect leaders in your organization, just isn't cutting it? And when do you know when it's time to move on?
You know, these are very difficult discussions and realizations that every organization goes through.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the first point is really realization. You need to look at it and identify what the situation is. If appropriate, have the discussion with the team member or with the appropriate department, devise strategies as to, you know, make a difference. And then if that's something that's not attainable, then you have to make a change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone's working for the good of the organization, and that needs to come first always.
Yeah. Yeah. One of my favorite quotes is, your level of success is directly relational to the number of uncomfortable conversations that you're willing to have. So
yeah.
I wonder how many uncomfortable conversations as a CEO of an organization your size, how many uncomfortable conversations you have to have on a daily basis?
On a daily basis, not many.
That's good. That's good.
But you know, these things arise, and you can't be a non-confrontational type of person. You know, you don't have to be an asshole either,
right.
But you need to, but you need to have these discussions. And I don't believe that it's unexpected. You know, people understand that they're in a work environment and performance is paramount. So it's not something that that's unusual, but it is something that needs to be thought out and managed and executed appropriately and respectfully.
Awesome. That's great. Well, so I'm going to give you one last chance here to tell the world, well, our little world anyway, why you guys are so great. I don't want to turn this into a pitch fest or anything, but I'm very impressed with your stable of products that you offer. So many of them, I had no idea. So many of them are stuff, are products that I use in my practices. So before we let you go, I'm going to give you one chance to give us your elevator pitch, your 10 second elevator pitch of why Premier is the choice that we should all be going with.
Well, that's, I mean, I can talk about this for 104 years, Dr. Costa.
Yeah.
So it's much appreciated. I think it really all comes down to who we are. We are Inspired Solutions for Daily Dentistry, built on four very important pillars of deep connection, meaningful innovation, standard-setting solutions, and undeniably proven. And we're in a unique position to be able to say those things because we have been in this industry for such a long time with consistent ownership and consistent success. I mean, that's what's so important. You know, it would be one thing if we were resting on our laurels, but we are able to consistently innovate and deliver important and needed products to the industry. And that's really what sets us apart, that look, we are not multi-billion dollar public companies, yet we are able to compete toe-to-toe with those organizations.
Sure.
And that really says a lot for who we are and what we're able to accomplish. And we do this through the loyalty of people like you and the dentist and the oral health professional around the world, whom we are so, so thankful to for their support.
That was perfect. That was perfect, Julie. Thank you for doing that. Well, it's been a true pleasure. This is really cool. I have the coolest job in the world. I get to speak to captains of industry and general dentists just like myself on a daily basis. And it's just it's really fun to be able to reach out and talk to people in your position and get your point of view and why you think that your practice or your company is so great. And we really appreciate your insights today.
Well, thank you so much. This has been a lot of fun. As you said, I always, you know, a big thing in business is you also have to have a great time.
True.
And that I do on a daily basis. And today is a prime example. So thank you very much, Dr. Costas. I've really enjoyed this.
Absolutely. So before I let you go, what's the best way for us to take a look at your multiple SKUs, all of the products that Premier has?
Well, that is a great question. Thank you very much. The prime area is, of course, to go to our website, which is www.premusa.com, like Premier, P-R-E-M as in Mary, U-S as in Sam, A.com.
Awesome.
You can find all of our, as we talked about, thousands of SKUs and important innovations there.
Awesome. Perfect. Well, Julie, thank you so much once again, and I hope you have a great rest of your summer, and I look forward to meeting you in person sometimes.
That would be fantastic. I'll get on that calendaring with you.
Awesome. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Julie Charlstein.
Whether you're a brand new practice owner or a seasoned veteran, you understand how difficult it can be to assemble a great team. People who share your values, your vision, and work ethic. People who understand how to adapt and contribute to a team culture. I believe that one of the single most important determining factors to your success in business is dependent upon finding and assembling a great team. Dental Placement Pros has a proven screening and vetting process to match just the right dental associates, hygienists, office managers, as well as front and back office assistants with the right practices. So if you're sick and tired of searching for unicorns, visit dentalplacementpros.com. That's dentalplacementpros.com.
And that wraps it up for another episode of the Dentalpreneur Podcast. I thank you so much for joining us this week, and we will talk to you next week. Take care now. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for joining us today on the Dentalpreneur Podcast. Check out TrueDentalSuccess.com for full recaps of every show, a schedule of our live events, free video tutorials, and a whole host of practice-building resources.